Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shots to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Gentlemen, start your engines! Because we got a race, away from some killer robots with chopping ball. Welcome back to Season 8, Simply the P.S. from the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. I am super happy to be joined by my good friend, James Trotta.
I am thrilled to be back here for another season. We're all rested, already.
That's right. We gotta get away. We gotta survive 7 hours. Whatever it is, it's a long time. Oh, Jack, how are you gonna survive?
Well, I won't piss off any robots.
yeah, we're doomed.
That's my first step.
All right, Nick, you gonna survive with us?
Hell no, rested. Who the hell rested? I did a deep dive, man. I've been watching Boogaloo movies training for this season. motherfuckers are resting? I'm pissed.
I definitely want to see the Rocky S montage of Nick training to watch some Boogaloo.
I'm a little less resting and more lazy, if you want to actually.
Yes. Well, we expect that, and that's it's what we look for out of you. But that's okay. So Nick, what we're looking for out of you is an explanation of Chopping Mall.
By the way, anybody else surprised that after what are we? Is this our 9th season, and we still got Nick looped into doing this? Like nobody.
Hey, the roles are the same. You know you. You're lazy, and Nick does the intros. Or Nick does summaries.
Yes, because I'm awesome at them. I used to write these things, but nobody liked that, so.
Oh, yeah.
Just
tell us what's on your mind.
I like the riffing. I like the off-the-cuff.
I like trying to remember what it is in it.
Well, we got lucky with this one, man. Because the summary is not a long one. Some of the longest, oldest teenagers ever decide that a sex party in a shopping mall is a good idea because that's a thing. And they get locked in that mall by accident with the new security system, a group of three robots who go mildly homicidal. That's about all that happens. It is a whole lot of fun, though. That's what it's what I call a fucking movie.
This is the first time in a little while that we're not going to argue about what happened in the movie.
yeah,
no, that's true. I think we can all agree that, yeah, that's what happened.
I am wondering what came out first, this or else, because when did the trope of sex party in a shopping center become such a big 80s common horror movie thing?
Well, and I mean, all I can think of is just, I would not, like, three of those guys work at that furniture store. I would not want to work at that furniture store because you would, or more to the point, I definitely don't want to shop at that furniture store after they've, you know, had sex.
They said they brought clean sheets. They're going to replace the sheets. They said that. They're not rude.
Last time I looked, you know, I'm pretty sure that some things go through the sheets.
Oh, yeah. Well, you must have backed up there.
I love the button down shirts and skinny ties at the furniture store.
Button down shirts, skinny ties. Yeah.
That's they're ready to sell some furniture.
I like that. Like you say, I mean, not one of these people younger than 35 has not.
That just killed me. Because the girl that's afraid of getting in trouble with her dad, and she's like,
I know. Man. Not one of these.
It was kind of an upshot whether the dad or the daughter was older.
Doesn't have the resources to have a party anywhere else.
And I do love the fact that they have to invite. Like, they invite people from outside. I mean, I think it's her sister or one of their sisters. But it's just so random. Like, you've got all these people from the mall, and then it's just like, all right, and we have ex-couple from outside the mall who are joining us at the furniture store party. And then we're all going to get in the same room, and we're going to all have sex, you know, in individual beds. Well, we obviously don't have the right kind of parties, guys. Like,
I think the little cheer I gave when Dick Miller, legendary, the actor Dick Miller showed up in this, one of the, I think, six films where he's called Walter Paisley.
Yes, he plays the same character as he did originally in Bucket of Blood. Yeah, that's also a Corman movie.
This is Concord
Pictures, not Corman, but it's his company, but it's his wife's movie. But hey, anyways, go on.
Yeah, and he's Dick Miller. There's a great documentary about Dick Miller that you can watch on Tubi. And
documentary on him on Tubi?
Yeah, there's a documentary about Dick Miller. It's called That Guy. It's all about Dick Miller.
He's definitely That Guy. Yep.
It's a great documentary. On Tubi TV, where we're also watching Chopping Mall.
Everything this season.
He's the first victim. He's the second victim. He's the second victim of the killer robots. And he's a maintenance guy. He's janitor cleaning up and has an altercation with one of the killer robots.
I just love the fact that he's cleaning up with the dirtiest, yuckiest looking water ever, and I'm like, he's like, I'm gonna be out of here in like 10 minutes, guys. Don't you worry. And I'm looking at the water, and I'm like, you ain't gonna be out of anywhere with that water.
Well, that's
your takeaway. Not the two guys he's out having the conversation with are just walking around the mall with beer.
Hey, their shift obviously ended.
To get out of work and to have a drink, but it's a whole nother thing to start drinking. As soon as you're off work,
day drinking.
I usually, you know, get out of the premises before I can crack a beer.
I just figured they stole it from somewhere because, you know, any of the mall stores, they don't obviously have any level of security. That's why they need the kill bots.
Why would they? They all seem to sell weapons of some sort.
Well, it is a state.
That was,
you know what? All I have to say to that, by the way, guys, is. Gulp, gulp.
All right, I got
a Rattler and a Coors Slice. I'm good to go. Keep going.
Okay, now I ask this question many, many times on this show, but I really want to get some feedback because I was left with a question about this movie. Okay, so We've got the mall. It's like a 3-floor mall plus parking, I think is what they show us on the map. They've got three killbots, which are mall security. Each killbot, they're not called killbots, obviously. They're called killbots in the credits, but they're mall security robots.
Well, it was originally released as killbots.
So the
91 minute cut, but everybody thought it was a Transformers movie, so nobody went, which is why some janitor came up with the title Chopping Mall. They stole it, renamed it, put it out, and it became sort of successful. 76 minutes.
It is a much there better name.
Did we all watch the same? We all watched the same cut.
The 76 minute cut is the common cut.
Okay,
and that's the one on Tubi.
Awesome. Okay, so the security robots, one per floor, and the big crash doors that seal at 11 o'clock, which is how our heroes end up trapped inside the mall with the mall security robots, which are now killbots because the lightning has made them malfunction. Now, the question I'm left with, which I often am, is if everything had gone right, how are these robots with lasers and knockout darts supposed to work? Like, what level of security does this mall need?
Well, obviously, if you watch the video at the beginning, armed people will break into the mall, break in, steal all the diamonds, and then try to shoot the killbots on their way out. That's exactly what happens every mall. That's what happens.
I love they show this promo video, and it's like basically it's the owners of the mall who are telling all the shop owners about how awesome it is they're getting the security robots. And one of the owners, like 2 minutes into the movie, goes, "So they just kill people?" Yes. No, they knock people out. They subdue them. I'm like, well, I'm glad someone asked the question early, because I guess I had to refer back to that quite often throughout the film.
I just like the fact that they're doing it in the mall, like they're having this demonstration in the mall. So it obviously has to be like after hours in the mall to be doing this demonstration, not at like a, you know, some kind of hotel convention center or something like that. No. We're going to do it in the mall because that's their location.
I thought they were trying to get, those were owners of a mall trying to buy it. But now that you mention it, it really was the mall, wasn't it?
The store owners that just like, what do we need this for?
Yeah. Well, especially Paul Bartel and Mary Warrenoff.
They were great.
who we will see individually and together again as we continue to do this podcast, I'm sure.
I believe, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, again... So they got the knockout darts, which I get. I guess if like you have to subdue the guy, I mean, the mall's already sealed with like unopenable doors, so I'm not sure how the guy got in or out. So,
see, you lived a very sheltered life. I lived through the 80s, man. It was rough.
Balls just
you
constantly.
Took your life in your hands when you went to the mall.
Well, if it's full of robots,
I don't understand
yeah.
the level of security that was needed then.
It was like class of 1984 in a mall.
I did not go to a mall unless they had killbots. That's the kind of security that was needed.
Well, they're not killbots to begin with. It's that lightning strikes and causes, we've seen, it either gets you to become like Short Circuit and Johnny Five, or you're a killbot. Those are your only two options if lightning strikes and the robots are around.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, the third one is you could have plugged them into a power bar. But I mean, sure, more likely you got
it. But it would have had to have a surge protector.
These three robots needed an operator on at all times.
Well, in case something goes wrong, I guess.
it was just more of a like, well, couldn't we just pay somebody to, you know, guard the mall at night? Situation going. I'm
back to my question.
This is clearly cheaper.
Like an astounding. It seems like a lot of funds going into to, you know, what is a $8 an hour night watchman gig?
Well, I guess theoretically it's a long game. If like eventually they pay for themselves by the fact that you got three of them, one on each floor, that means that you don't have to have a night watchman who's going to fall asleep in the middle of the shift. So this way,
can't afford not to get it.
Yeah. They really, after like 20, 30 years of good protection and no lawsuits, obviously, in this case, hopefully, I'm sure the lawsuits are going to be flying fast and
they
furiously.
They were partying in there. It's their own fault.
They were trespassing.
Well, yeah. Obviously, fornication is a problem when it comes to these kind of movies.
Now, they were authorized to be in there. They had security passes and
the
like
men,
that.
The men were, yeah.
The men were, yeah.
Well, the sure. two of the girls were. Three of the girls were. They worked at the mall.
Did they all work?
So I wouldn't like throw the trespassing thing out there too quickly.
Now, well, if it's after hours, that doesn't mean you're licensed to be in the mall.
Now the we're spending more time on mall policies and procedures than ever expected.
Not really a good point.
Really? Because
that's quite a surprising direction for the podcast.
that's what I took out of this movie.
What's your favorite part of the season? I thought it was when we addressed the mall mall security policies. I thought that was good.
It's definitely important. What if the listeners want to know?
Good committee work. Okay, so the two features that we are told about these mall security robots are they have sleep darts. I guess they're bulletproof, so that's like so three features: sleep darts, bulletproof, and they have lasers to cut through debris. How much debris is there going to be around the mall on an average day?
and given that they're awful shots with those lasers.
Yeah, get it.
So my assumption is that somebody breaks a whole bunch of glass. Perhaps they use a bomb and they blow up the door. And so there's a little bit of debris there. But with those giant treads, they should be able to get over the glass. They got over the glass quite well when it was under them before. They drove over quite a bit of things. Using it so yeah, really, they never used those lasers to get through debris, but they did use it to carve through a door at one point. So I'll give them that.
Just debris.
A lot of teenagers.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about those lasers, they're a little inconsistent. You got to be careful. The robots don't want to be wielding them without discretion, because I mean, sometimes you'll shoot somebody dead on it, and it'll create a little hole the size of yes. a pinhead. And other times, it'll cause a brain to completely, a face to completely explode. You never know.
God, that was awesome.
I thought
made a whole head explode
for a moment.
Somebody gets shot in the leg, and it's just like this little.
Yes.
And then later, somebody gets
she was completely incapacitated by that shot.
That's true.
She couldn't move after getting shot in the leg there. Yeah. We didn't see much blood. Maybe it just cauterized. I don't know, but she was down for the count.
Maybe there was like a poison in there, too.
But that's beside the point.
Yeah, for a while, I actually thought that if they hit the clothes, then it was just going to, it wasn't going to be effective. It had to actually hit skin to be effective and blow your head off.
If it hits skin, it will cause an immediately whatever limb it hits to completely explode.
Yes.
And if it hits close, it'll cause a little burn. That's how it works.
That was the greatest thing, though, because like the lasers are firing away. It's hitting them left, right, and center, it seemed like, and then just stands there. Boom, head explodes, and I'm like, wow.
That totally caught me off guard, I'll give you that.
Never expected that, quite frankly. Because I didn't think those lasers were particularly dangerous for quite a while.
Considering how not dangerous they were, I thought it was very fortunate that Dick Miller was using so much water that they were able to electrocute him with it when he was cleaning the floor.
Now, there was one feature that they don't talk about at the beginning that I was unclear about how the security robot was able to hide a body.
Yes, yes, I wondered that too.
Because it kills someone, and then someone comes into that room, and there's no body in there.
And it cleaned
up
the
blood.
Learned
from other movies in the Boogaloo series that bodies evaporate.
Yeah.
I just assume it ate him.
Did we ever establish whether or not these killer robots are actually just redesigned army robots that they brought in?
Yeah, they're like leftover N209 prototypes.
It's like, oh, so this is the next iteration of Class of 1999, just in the past.
That's right.
Seriously, every time we do a movie that has robots killing people, this podcast is fantastic.
It really is. Yeah.
That'll never fail, like, ever, to fail to entertain me.
I want to get back to talking about malls.
What? I want to get to scoring.
No, let's talk about the malls. We have a change room in here. I might have seen a longer cut.
Nope. There's the change room, which I've never seen in a mall.
That I never, for just the mall employees to change in.
The mix of stores is really odd in this mall. it's like Deus Ex Machina mall. It's whatever store you happen to need. Like there's the furniture store, and then there's the automatic gun store, and then there's the explosive paint store.
That paint, it was like the thinnest paint you would ever find. I swear that they just bought like one bucket of paint and then filled up like a quarter of each bucket and then put a whole bunch of water in. It's just like, look, it's the paint.
All right, are we going to scoring?
Let's get to scoring.
Jack's ready to roll here. He's ready to assign some numbers.
This season, Jack's excited for the season. He's so excited he wants to just rush right through this season. Yeah, fuck that shit. Just score this.
I can't wait to do my pitch for the next season's movies. I've already changed it three times. If we wait any longer.
All right. Well, welcome back. Season 8 of Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. If you are joining us in progress, we are searching for the ultimate B movie. And in our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and as always, we start with
Stan.
Did
we ever tell anybody what this season's title is or direction? No.
Oh, we're gonna do that at the end. Now we're shaking up
episode 8. At the last second of episode 8, we'll let everybody.
It's a secret. They're all about this in their podcast app, and it's gonna say what the episode was called and what the season's called.
I already said that right at the top.
No, you didn't, actually.
I'm pretty sure I said simply the BS, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Yeah, but you didn't explain what it is. But point is that...
they can listen to the old episodes. That's the goal.
Iconic directors, this one being the iconic Jim Wynorski.
And Wynorski, and yes, he is iconic.
Wynorski?
Jerkowski?
What else did Jim do? What are the other?
He did Return of the Swamp Thing.
Nice.
He did the Bear Breast Project, which was a Blair Witch Project ripoff. He did eight of those. Witches of Breastwick.
No.
Yeah, Breastwick. Yeah. Wick, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Well, he did like everything.
This thing, man?
Yeah. And about 10 direct to sci-fi
and
movies.
He wrote Screwballs.
That's right. And there is a poster.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Speaking
right.
Of posters, anyone notice the sheer number of Roger Corman posters?
Well, that's because they're all Jim Wynorski movies. Jim Wynorski has The Sorceress, which is his movie. There's another one later on that I have written down.
There's a room they're in that there's like eight posters up and they're all Wynorski movies. Yeah. All right, Stan.
Okay.
Schlock appeal.
Well, it's like Nick said, this movie is a lot of fun, and there's no doubt about it. It's a great length. It's a great story concept. One of the things that I do love about Jim Wynorski is the fact that he does bring a certain level of humor to all of his scripts, and it just really helps to kind of push the movie along a little bit, because he knows what he's doing. He knows the way that he's making these movies. It's never going to be high art, but it's Boogaloo art. And so for me, like, it's I don't think it's the top of the Boogaloo chart for Jim, but it's really good, so I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I actually sort of believe this came early enough in Jim's career that he's inventing Boogaloo almost at this point. So I'm gonna go as high as 9.
Yeah, this is like I think his second film he's directed, so and he'd you know and like fourth he's written or something like that at this point. So yeah, I mean it's very early in his career. It's for a Jim Wynorski or however the hell you pronounce it for him. This is a relatively unsleazy effort.
Yes, that's true.
This is one of his least sleazy movies, one of his probably most mainstream type movies. So I still think it qualifies still as schlocky for what it is, but I'm only giving it a 6.
There's an alarm that your score was too low.
Yeah.
We've instituted a new alarm system.
All right, yeah. I'll go to a 7.
Oh, good. There's no beeping.
No beeping, see? Yeah, it's like a lie detector, but
yeah. Oh, that would be the best if we could get a boogaloo detector. Oh,
that sounds really good. You say no sleaze, but about 6 minutes into this movie, there's women in bikinis who are promoting the opening of this mall, and so it's like six like beauty pageant type women who are with big giant hair promoting the mall, and one of them is wearing a sash that says "Take the Kids," which is just awesome. I think this movie has it has all of the elements that we look for. I'm also going to go with an 8 on this. More heart than budget. Do we have a budget number on this?
$800,000.
That's not a lot of budget. So that's, nope. That's much heart.
How much? That's... Heart?
Yeah, it's a Corman movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Corman literally took Wynorski before he made this movie, sat him down and said, "Here's how you make a movie cheap." And told him everything he needs to do to be a film director, he said, and everything that he had learned previously, he kind of tossed out. So, there you go.
A good decision overall, I would say. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is that, A, you've got a mall. I mean, malls are awesome locations for shooting a movie because you can just do... you just run around the mall. There's lots of different types of stores for you. You can, like you say, it's kind of like that Deus Ex Machina thing. Like, you can just add whatever you need at any given point. So it works really well. I think really for me, where it kind of hits is the fact that you've got these killbots. They all look fairly consistent. They all show up, pretty well. I mean, it's terrible, like, the noises that they make. I don't know how they sneak up on anybody when it's just like... but they do. But the point is that they look good. They don't necessarily look like they're going to fall apart if somebody breathes on them funny. And overall, you got a few random good actors in there, and you got Dick Miller, so it's great. I'm gonna go pretty high on this one, and I'm gonna go with a 9.
Yeah, this is a stupid movie. This should not. This movie should not be enjoyable at any. At any point in this movie, I was not entertained, I'd start to question the logic of the movie. However, I'm having fun shooting the whole thing, laughing it along with it. Everybody's given their all. The extremely old teenagers, the robots are stupid. The only point I really question about them, without actually stopping to think how stupid this movie was like, so the robots can the robots go on the escalators or not? I don't know. I question that logic.
I don't think they can, but
we see them do
but
it.
But they do. Yes, they should not be able to. They are definitely breaking the laws of physics in that case.
But outside of that, a casual watch, you don't question like where are the bodies going? Do having robots in the mall actually make sense?
I always ask.
It's
that.
A confident, entertaining movie. So yes, it has a lot of heart considering there was no budget. I'm going with a 9.
Yeah, I mean, again, it 800,000, not much, especially 1987. It's certainly not much money. It's Corman. They stretched out that budget for their special effects and stuff pretty good. It went to the theaters. It was clearly a B movie in the theaters, but it's not like some movies that go to the theaters or you just that you see them and you're going, it looks like it was made for $12. It still looks like a movie. On the other hand, there's still like a lot of stuff that is probably going to come up in the next category that is clearly a sign of inexperience and a lack of money. So I'm just getting temperate. I'll go with a 7.
All right. I think I'm amazed that they built one of those robots and made it move for $800,000, let alone probably when they show the three of them at the beginning of the film, only one of them operated. And then they just reused the operating one for the whole filming.
No, they had five robots in total.
Nice.
That they had made, and they were remote controlled, nice. You know, off screen. Awesome. And yeah, so.
So it would have been an 8, but it gets the Dick Miller bonus for a 9.
It is a bonus.
Give it some
now.
Dick, that's right.
Now we move fast into scoring so that we have extra time for what the fuck moments.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and I kind of expected it because a lot of mine did get a lot of the stuff that I had marked down got kind of got taken off already. Like when you talk about we talk about the movie posters. I laughed my ass off when I saw the Sorceress poster and then the Screwballs poster. And then later on, of course, you had the Lost Empire poster and the Galaxy of Terror. So, I mean, it's great. I love that little nod that Jim is just tossing in his movies in there. And, of course, the robots taking the escalator. Like, the first time I did that, I actually had to rewind because I was just like, okay, so first off, the escalators aren't running. The robots managed to fire up those escalators, which last time I looked was not an immediate thing. And
you can hide a body, I guess.
Yeah. And then then they managed to take them. And they did this a couple of times in the movie. It's fantastic. And obviously, it's good to know that they're, even though they're on separate floors, they're not locked down to those floors. You know, they can come and help out. So, I mean, it's good news. I loved it as the girls worked at a really terrible restaurant with a really with a lovely sleazy customer in it. But what was worse was the cook in there, and I'm like, why does anybody eat at this pizza place? Because you walk in there, it's the worst looking place, and the guy is rubbing his spatula with the green gunk all over his shirt. And again, it's what the fuck, but it's also like perfectly 80s movie silly what the fuck.
In fact, I always thought, I remember that scene, but I remember in Fast Times in Ridgemont High for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Because there's a restaurant in that one, too.
Yeah.
It was the same mall.
Yeah.
It is the same mall. I wrote that down. Is this the Fast Times mall?
There's also
in Commando.
Well, I'm sure it's in a lot, yeah, but... there's a great moment and Jim, you alluded to the girls going up the escalator. Well, that is tied to one of my absolute favorite scenes in the movie where this mother is going through in the food court trying to navigate, people just randomly sticking out their arms, and she's got this big tray of drinks and she like oversteps around them, she's juggling, you think like, oh my god, like something's gonna fall, when's it gonna hit her? She manages to get to her table and the table falls off its mooring. That's what got her. And I'm like, see, that's good. I like, you knew it was gonna happen, but there's a moment when John Terlesky's character dies and he's down on the ground.
By the way, my favorite character.
Oh yeah, I know, and he's great. I mean, John Terlesky's awesome. He's a great guy to have fun in these movies. But and his girlfriend comes around, and I don't know how she missed it when like she's walking forward, and it's like, oh my, where are you? Like, even though his legs are stretched right out in front of her, and you can see that she's walking with these little baby steps so that she just won't trip on him. But that was pretty funny. But one of my favorites was later on the line, I guess I'm just not used to being chased around the mall in the middle of the night by a group of killer robots. It's like, that makes really good sense. I probably wouldn't be used to that either. So for me,
yeah, she had a right to be testy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for me, it's, there's a lot, and I know I'm leaving a lot for you guys, so I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah. There are definitely a couple WTFs. And I'll leave it to you guys on this one. I don't know if it was just filmmaking incompetence, the party. Where was the party? Because there was no party. They all just immediately went to have sex.
Yeah, no, they just split apart to have sex. It's not really a party. Then afterwards, after you bang, that's when you get together and party. You know, that's how
I'm just wondering if it was incompetence. Did they forget a group scene where they, you know, they were having a few beers beforehand? Or was it actually meant to be some sort of orgy?
15 minutes was cut, so who knows, right?
Yeah, they could have cut all the nudity. You know, there was a bit, but not enough.
Because it was just a little weird to have the couple that just met just sitting on the couch listening to have people having sex around them.
But they were watching a great movie that I was.
That was the way the 80s went.
Yep.
Yeah. The other one, I really got confused. The second robot death where they set up the mannequins to distract the robot.
So,
which is a sentence that,
which is a thing that happens.
Now that I'm saying it out loud, now I sort of figured this out after the fact. Did they set up mirrors behind the robot, and that's what caused it to malfunction?
That reflected its lasers back at it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I now understand that scene because. That was nowhere clear in the plan.
No, it wasn't. No, it was a twist. But it's great that they kill someone. They kill Rick in like right at that scene. But they pull back when Rick gets like fried, and it's clearly just a mannequin again. Like
yeah, it's the mannequin's arm.
And I wrote down like it's okay. Rick was just a mannequin.
Yeah. Hey, I was sad because both him and his girlfriend get it in that scene, and they were the only two developed characters. It's like I like those guys. They're married, yet they still hang out with like high school students. They're just getting by. They're running a tow truck company of some sort.
Entrepreneurs.
I knew more about them than anyone else in this movie. So when they died, it was a bit of a bummer.
I know more about them than I know about you. What was your score there, Nick?
Oh, my score. You know what? It's a completely watchable film. At no point did I lose track or go, hey, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I'm only going to go as high as a 6.
I mean, there's lots of those things, you know. The part where she has, you know, tarantulas on her, and when she gets up the next scene, it's little spiders.
That was fine.
Toy spiders, yeah. There's the fact that you can see people, they're supposed to be in this mall all by themselves. You can see people walking around in the background, though, in the upper levels. If you hadn't noticed that. This is, by the way, this is nothing to do with the scoring or the boogaloo, but just when that first robot killed, did anybody with absolutely no sense of irony immediately say to themselves, one down, two to go?
It finally works.
I did it. No, I did have a tagline. It was death by porn on the first kill, but...
I think when you're talking about the WTF, just those moments are just so like, why? It is when we talk about the Mike character getting killed, my favorite character, just he's so awesome. It never, every single scene he's chewing gum. Yes. Every scene he's chewing gum, you know, with this perfectly feathered 80s hair, and he's just awesome. And when he gets killed, but his girlfriend goes to check on him, and she's in. You know, panties. So they just put a shot on her ass for like, it's got to be 3 minutes of her ass.
No reason. Now, that's where you can tell Jim Wynorski is a master of the genre. He knew he needed that footage.
Yes.
And not a second of it was wasted. I'll tell you that.
Incredibly. Incredibly WTF. It goes on for so long for no reason. So perfect. It's great. So I got a 7.
All right. I want to unpack the scene that Jack mentioned briefly about the pet store. So she tries to escape by going into the pet store, and she hides underneath the shelf. The now at this point we'll call him a killbot at this point because it's already it has tasted human blood. I'm now going to go with Stan's thing that he ate the guy. So it goes in and it knocks over.
Yeah, it was.
It knocks over only like three things, and one of them is a box full of tarantulas, and one of them is a box full of snakes. So she's hiding underneath, and all of these things start like running over her, and she's like trying not to scream because the kill bottle know where she is. I just thought that was awesome. And then she destroys one of the robots by she goes into a paint store, which is full of the most flammable paint ever. Like, I guess when they went from, they transitioned from lead to, I guess it's napalm. So she's dumping out all these cans of paint. And so she opens a can of paint and she throws it against the wall. And I'd say about half a cup of paint was in each of these buckets when she throws it.
Oh yeah. When she opens them, instead of being full, come to think of it, now that you mention it, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times when you go to a store and there's gas cans on the shelves, do they have gas in them? I'm pretty sure
that's not. That is also a thing that happens in this movie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Come to think of it, you've already just reminded me of the part where the explosion happens in the gas store, the gas can paint store after that robot.
Oh yeah, and boom, it's big.
It's just great. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, it's like 5 seconds later, a second bigger boom. I'm like, what is in this paint store?
If this movie...
I'm going eight.
If this movie had more cars, they would have exploded.
So six, seven, eight for me now.
Which, what's your... You've got time to work it out, Jack. You can come back to me and give a score. I got one last little. There's a line in this movie. It's one of the, I always get caught by those little, like, ADR lines that are added in, like, you know, the dubbed over lines that they add in public spaces. And this one is a mall announcement that says, "Lost child in lingerie answering to the name of Steve."
That guy got that too. That was funny. Yeah.
All right, eight for me. Really, like, it's not even individual moments. It's the whole premise of this movie is just so stupid and weird.
It is stupid.
It's such a wonderful way. Memorable moments.
Yeah, this was a great way to start us off overall, because Jim Wynorski really does, you know, hit that B movie and all the good tropes. And that's the interesting thing when it comes to trying to nail down memorable moments, is because there's lots of things that are memorable because they're B movie tropes. And so it's like, well, I specifically remember the shopping mall ones, or well, I just remember like them as a whole concept. And now one of the things, and obvious, and I don't think it was Jim Wynorski's, as Jack said, but the movie titled Chopping Mall, that's fantastic. The poster is fantastic. I mean, of course, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the movie.
Nothing.
But like
always the best. Always
but the best. Damn.
Yeah, there was no chopping in this movie whatsoever.
I for years, this is the first time I've seen this. So I for all these years, I assumed it was a slasher film.
yeah, for sure. And why wouldn't you? You know, instead, it's actually like an 80s teen sex romp that just happens to have killer robots in it. And I love that. You know, like there's a lot of little things in this. So I do think that I'll remember a fair bit of this, but I don't think it's one of those like where I'll necessarily be like pulling out whole chunks and being like, oh yeah, bam, that's the thing that I'm totally going to remember. Although, you know, there's like, have a nice day, that kind of thing. The robots, that's good stuff. I'm going to go with a six.
And just to comment on what you just said there, those girls were stacked. There were no little things in this movie. Oh God, what category were we good judging?
Memorable moments. Which is not a euphemism.
Actually, I think what I'm going to take away from this movie is how competent they were in the areas that they needed to be competent. The head explosion was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The full, I always notice full body burns in movies. I love them, and they're very rarely done well. This one is great, and it really shouldn't have been, because this this is a stupid movie about killer robots in a mall. Our main star was cute, and I immediately looked her up to see where I can find her more. I'm going to remember this movie. Am I going to remember any lines? Probably not. So that decreases the score a little, but yeah, 7. I mean, there are no other shopping mall robots gone wild movies. So
robots gone wild.
Really, there should be. It should be a genre unto itself. I also want a prequel starring Mike. So
I agree. It's a little difficult now. What's that character actor's name again? Sam?
His name is John Terleski. He's also he appears in Death Stalker 2, also that's by right, Jim Wynorski.
Yeah. He's like a director now. He directs like Blacklist and Criminal Minds and TV shows like that. He's a television director, a successful television director. Okay. So him chewing gum. So Mike chewing gum is memorable. The title is memorable. The head explosion is memorable. That's it. 6.
Robots patrolling the mall. I'm going to give you that. And and the consistency of people pronouncing it robot.
Robot. <yeah. laughs> I love a good robot.
Which like you notice that as you go back in time, like up until about sometime in the 80s, that robot becomes the accepted pronunciation, but robot was really common up until then. I think the robots themselves are what I'm really going to remember, despite one of them having what's referred to as an unpleasant ethnic flavor about
his looks. Oh God, that was the best. That was such a great moment.
I spent an inordinate amount of time looking at the second robot, trying to, what the hell is he talking about there?
What ethnicity is that?
It's an unpleasant ethnic look. 7 for me. And our final category is called Crazy Concept.
Well, I mean, hey, it's like we've talked about. It should be a thing, the whole robots going crazy in the mall. I love the fact that yes, malls by themselves, I mean, you got Dawn of the Dead, that kind of thing. So it's not crazy to stick people in a mall and have something bad happen to them. The fact that it's actually not really a horror movie, and that's it's an 80s teen sex comedy with older than teens, but that makes it different. It's definitely got a flavor of its own. So I'm going to go with a 7.
Yeah, you could definitely tell that the director / writer had a relationship with whoever was, you know, paying for this thing. Because there's no way you can go up to anyone in Hollywood and go, I got an idea for a movie, Robots in a Mall. It's a comedy.
It's a sex party.
That has breasts and violence.
Ooh, breasts
you're not
and
getting
violence.
A dime unless you know that person. So the concept, yeah, it's pretty up there. So I'm going to go with, I'll decrease it a little just because it is actually a mainstream movie when you actually get around to watch it in some respects. So yeah, 8.
So that's actually, they pitched the idea and Roger Corman went, good. Let's make
No, I think, yeah. I think Jim went, you know, I got an idea for a movie. And Roger went, yeah, I know you.
No, that's you actually not how. So it actually wasn't Roger Corman. It was his wife that greenlit it. Roger Corman's wife, because this Concord is the production studio. So I mean, other than that, you're right. But yeah, I mean, there's scenes that are like directly looking like something out of Dawn of the Dead, and there's absolutely, especially the limping and the female character and all this stuff. The definitely things that evoke Terminator, the original, and it's definitely there. On the other hand, robots, lightning, evil, killing people, party, mall, no sense, crazy. 8.
I it's pretty wackadoo, and and yeah, I think it should have been more of a thing, and it was definitely you know, it was the first of its kind, and tragically the last of its kind.
They did try and make a remake in 2010, but it unfortunately never came through. And who knows? Maybe it's still well.
All right,
Gremlins 2 would be the closest to this genre I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Yeah. All right, 8 for me as well. So we're looking at some high numbers going into the final bit here. Now, Jack, what the fuck moments? You got a last chance. I got you.
I have a 7.
I got you. You said 7, then you said 8, and 8, then Stan was talking. Yeah.
So my total scores went 6. 7, 8, 6, 8.
8. All right.
Average is 7.
Well, I've already typed 8. You want me to change it or not?
Oh, my God. Now we've suddenly managed to hit Abbott and Costello.
6, 7, 8, 6, 8. Average is 7.
All right. 7 it is. All right. Every season, we have 6 secret modifiers. This film has 4. Oh, my
yes!
God.
We hit them all on the first film.
Four out of a possible 5 already. Yeah. There are two modifiers that cancel each other out. So your 5 is the most you could have. This one has 4. We have yet to find the movie that can hit both time modifiers. I'm willing to give it if there is a movie with a director's cut where one cut is under 80 minutes and one is over 95, I would give it both of those.
Well, this is actually really close because the other one is 95, so we got 76 and 95.
91. That one's 91.
91. It wasn't. I did look at that.
Oh, okay. Wikipedia listed as 95.
Good save.
All right, so it does get a -1 because Jim was working for a living on this job. At this, he's not a producer. He does not have and it was originally released under a different title, so he did lose some control of the film as time went on. It does get all 3 pluses though. So this film is less than 80 minutes. This film does feature a director cameo. Jim is the voice of the robots. And the director was one of the writers. So it gets all 3 bonuses, giving it a final total of 78 out of 100, which ties it with HOTS. And I don't think the Octagon is not updated with all of the films, but I don't know if there was any more in there. So it's top 10 film.
Nice. Yes.
No, it's a really enjoyable B movie, you know? Like really, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the one, you know, if you've been listening to this show and you're looking for the one to share with the folks who are skeptical about B movies, this would be a good intro one for them.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's easy to see why it became a cult classic.
And this is the kind of reason why we're doing this season, especially, is just so that we can watch a movie like this, which is a lot of fun. And it's right down that B movie, you know, zone. It's perfect. Okay. Well, moving on to the next episode of Simply the BS, we are going to be going into Race with the Devil, and that's Jack Starrett. So I'm looking forward to that one coming up next. But Jim, you got to tell the folks where they can find us.
I will. So we are sponsored by We Talk Podcasts. They have a wonderful website called wetalkpodcasts.com. That is the home of the Octagon, which has our ongoing list of our search for the ultimate B movie. You can search by the category. You can search by the final total. Everything links back, so you can get right to the episode where we talked about that film. And they also have a Facebook. They have a Twitter under We Talk Podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
All right. Well, we've had a great start to this season, and I got to say, I am looking forward to us carrying on and having some fun, having some great laughs. The Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo is unstoppable! Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, unless anybody has anything else to say, and I sure hope you don't, because we gotta get watching movies, right? Tubi isn't going to watch itself. I know that much. All right. For Jim, for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
They broke into the mall for the wildest all-night party of their lives.
Get that meat.
But you're never alone. In the chopping mall.
What's that?
Robot blood. Chopping mall. Where shopping costs you an arm and a leg.